This morning, our missionary Gina Lim is going to give an update on history in Czech Republic, and I just wanted to just give a brief introduction, although she really doesn't need an introduction. So Gina is actually a founding member of Cornerstone. She's been here since the very beginning. I think it's just her and Jin, right? Our founding members. She's been in Czech Republic for the past 9 years. So she was initially sent out as a kind of a mid-term missionary and then subsequently converted to long-term missionary. So I want to welcome, everyone welcome Gina Lim up, and what she can share with us.
Hello, hello. Good to see you this morning. I bring greetings from the church in Kladno. They all know who you are. Maybe not individually, but as a body, they know who you are, and they're very grateful for your prayers and thankful for your support of our ministry there in the Czech Republic. This is, like, I was asking somebody this week, like, what do you guys want to hear from me? Like, sometimes it's hard for me to know who knows what, and somebody suggested that a lot of people who are newer to the church don't really know much about the history of Cornerstone, of BSKK. So I put together a quick little timeline. I don't know how to get this thing do I get to control it? I do. So first of all, an overview of where the Czech Republic is. I don't know if you can see it, because the letters are smaller than I anticipated, but the black dot is you, Fullerton, California, Cornerstone Bible Church. The red dot is me, Kladno, the Czech Republic, not Czechoslovakia. That ended back in like 1990, 1991. And people always ask, like, how far away is it? Because on a world map, it's hard to tell, really. But just so you know, usually when I fly back, I fly 2 hours to London, which is the yellow dot, and then 10 hours to the black dot. So it's about a 12-hour flight, but because of layovers, usually takes 14 to 16 hours. So that's how long it takes to get here, and it's worth every minute. And you guys pay for it, also worth every penny. So here is a brief history of BSKK. In 1996, some of you know Peter and Sonia Smith. They were serving in the Philippines initially, and after doing like a kind of like test run there of serving in missions, they decided to move to the Czech Republic. And when they first arrived, they had, I believe Joshua was already born at that point. Joshua Smith, their oldest son. And so they arrived with a little baby. And it was 1996, which is, for your reference, 7 years after communism fell. Communism fell in 1989, in order to give you a picture of what life was like back there. It wasn't like 1996 here in America, where we had, I don't know, ripped jeans and Backstreet Boys, and or maybe like Boys to Men, or I don't know what that was. But it was very post-communist. They still like didn't have a lot of modern conveniences. People were still, a number of people were still washing clothes by hand, and nobody had a dryer. Dishwashers were like maybe just becoming a new thing, but they were so expensive, nobody could afford it. And that's kind of how they were living. And initially, they were with Grace Missions International, which I think was a different name back then. But their kind of MO, or the way that they would normally plant, is they would come in under like an existing denomination. And there was a Czech denomination that had a church there in Kladno. And so they decided to join this church. Also in 1996, 3 weeks after arriving in a new country where they didn't know the language, Peter Smith is not one to wait, and so he starts his first English camp. And I think they had a very small number of attendees, but it kind of got the word out that there's this crazy American that lives in Hostivica. They were living in the village of Hostivica at the time, which is just outside of Prague, and they had their first English camp. And the Czech church, I think, was very excited about this, someone who really wanted to reach the lost. And they also started an English club during the week in Kladno, where people could come and they could continue to build relationships. And the desire for people to learn English at that time was huge, because Czech had been cut off from the outside world for so long. And the way, like the best way it seemed for them to reach other people would be to learn English, because nobody outside of the Czech Republic really speaks Czech unless it's a Czech that's traveling. So so they started the English club. In the year 2000, BSKK was founded, what happened was Peter became an elder there of the Czech church, and at his first elders meeting, he arrived, sat down, and nobody had a Bible. Not that they didn't even open it, they didn't even have them, because they never referenced the Bible at all in their elders meetings. And nobody prayed, and he was like, what is this? And the longer he was an elder, the more he realized that this church did not hold a very high view of the Word of God, did not really exercise, like function as though under the authority of the scriptures or of really under the authority of God, really. And so he became more and more aware that he could not submit to this leadership. And as an elder, he would have to submit to his fellow elders. And so he decided to leave. They were very angry about it. It was pretty ugly for a number of years. And they basically forbade him from planting in Kladno, which he, since they're no longer elders, he didn't have to listen to that. So he planted in Kladno. And that was the founding of Biblický sbor křesťanů Kladno, which means basically the Christian Bible Church of Kladno. So somebody try to say that. Biblický. Pretty good. Zbor. This is the hard one. Křesťanů. Awful as expected. Kladno. Yeah, okay, that was all right. Good job. It's a very difficult language. And now you see what I've been dealing with for the last 9 years, trying to communicate. So they found BSKK. There were three other families also involved. So it's not like it's just the Smiths. By this time, they have four children, and three boys and a girl. And they're sending, in the beginning, I think when the kids were young, they sent them to Czech schools. And then as soon as they'd pretty much picked up the language, they sent them to, I think, an international school in Prague. Because, yeah, at that time, Czech education was a little, let's just say, subpar. Let's put it that way. Okay. And then in 2009, I didn't have space to put this in the timeline, but Cornerstone Bible Church sends its first team to the Czech Republic in 2002, where they help with an English camp. The team consisted of, I think, five people, and I think the camp consisted of maybe, I don't know, I have a picture of it, you'll see it later. Okay, so in 2009, that's when Joshua Smith graduates from high school, and he needs to decide whether he's going to go to university in the Czech Republic or if he's going to go to university in the U.S. His parents tell him, you can go wherever you want, just know that wherever you're going, we're going to go with you. So after a lot, that's a big decision for a 19-year-old to have to decide where his family is going to live. But he decides that he's going to move back to America, and they end up in Michigan, in Berkeley, Michigan, with Hope in Christ Bible Church. I always get confused because there's also a church in Spokane that we work closely with called Christ Our Hope, and I always get those two names mixed up. So, and then as Peter's preparing to leave, he asks that Marcus Denny, who at that time was a intern pastor, I think he was a pastor here at Cornerstone Bible Church, leading all kinds of different ministries. He led the college ministry. We have some graduates of that still here. He did like a singles ministry. He was preaching. And he'd always wanted to go to the Czech Republic. He came down here for seminary and then decided that he needed to get some more ministry experience. But then by 2009, the bread had finished baking, I suppose, and he was ready to move to the Czech Republic. So the Denny's moved in April to the Czech Republic. We had English camp in July. We had a Prague Day with the students after that weekend. And the next day after Prague Day, the Smiths moved back to America. Marcus always tells the story how he went to their house to pick them up to take them to the airport, and Peter was still wearing pajama pants and could not find his own pants, so Marcus had to trade pants with him. And Peter wore Marcus's pants back to America, and Marcus drove them to the airport in Peter's pajama pants. So, and that began like the era of the Denny ministry in the Czech Republic. After that, in 2014, they took some time to learn the language. So 2008 was actually my first trip. And like almost from, pretty much from the beginning, I had a Jones in to go, but didn't know what the Lord had. And so I decided just to sit and pray about it, and, like not say anything, but also go every summer pretty much to the Czech Republic. And so, and then in 2012, we had a huge church conflict, and I thought, our church is not ready probably to send another missionary, much less like a single lady. So continue to pray. But in 2013, the elders approached me and Julia Chan, at the time Chan, now Yang, to see if we wanted to go to the Czech Republic to serve as short-term missionaries or long-term missionaries for the initial the initial term was a year. So we agreed, and we went in 2014. Our main duties at the time would be basically to do whatever we could for the church, like cooking, anything that didn't require language, because we didn't speak Czech yet, to start picking up the language. So we were taking 90-minute lessons twice a week. I am still, by the way, taking 90-minute lessons twice a week. That's how hard this language is. And also to run an English club as an outreach. So the English club, when the Denny's came, went on hiatus because the Denny's just couldn't learn the language, raise three small children, and do English club all at the same time. So it kind of went on hiatus, and we were able to bring it back with me and Julia. And Julia ended up staying until 2016 when she moved back, and then like 2 months later met her future husband. So God is good. Also in 2014 at BSKK, we established a plurality of elders. Up until then, Marcus was the sole elder, but then there were two men in the church who were growing and showed qualities of leadership, and so they were installed as elders Daniel Adamovsky and Aleš Novotný, who has since left the church if you read the updates. Then from 2022 to 2023, we had a global pandemic! You guys know what that was about! I think you guys maybe had it worse than we did. But in the initial days, there was a lot of locking down and a lot of not seeing each other. But by virtue of the fact that I officially like work for the church, I was able to do go to church every Sunday. I ran the live stream. I did music. I did all the like, you know, slide stuff. So I had to be there. And when we started meeting again, there were social distancing restrictions, and so we started having two services. And then the elders decided that they wanted to all meet together, but we would need a bigger space for that. There weren't that many of us. It's just that we had to be so far apart. So we asked the Hotel Claudno across the street if it would be possible for us to meet in their space. And since they had nothing else going on. And the other thing is, because we're a church, we're a religious group, we have an exception. So if it were just some, like, I don't know, work conference, they would have had to say no, but because we had that religious exemption. So in that weird way, the Czech Republic, an atheist country, had more, like, was more gracious to churches than here in America. So yeah, God is very sovereign. And during that time, during COVID, our church just kind of exploded. We thought we were gonna be in that hotel just until the restrictions were dropped. We never left the hotel. We're still there every Sunday. So God was very gracious to lead us to the right place at the right time and then grow us when we had the space for it. We're already kind of starting to outgrow it, so you could be praying for that. And then that leads us to today, 2023. Kind of the biggest new thing at BSKK is that we recently instituted church membership, which it had been an ongoing debate for many years of whether or not to institute that and when, and what were the signs of that that the church was ready for this. And through this big growth spurt during COVID and the aftermath of that, we could see that the church was growing, people were eager to serve, and people were eager to commit. And so they decided, and as we were getting bigger, it was kind of getting harder to tell like who really was, I don't know, like a believer first of all, and who was really committed to the church and should be included in like certain communications and things like that. So church membership was instituted. We have 35 members at the moment. I think two who would really like to get on board. So that would be 37. Considering that, so here's, I think I have a picture. This is what BSKK looked like in 2015, the year after we arrived. How cute. And this is what BSKK looks like now. You can't see faces in this photo. Like it's so small. But God has been very gracious to us, gracious to answer your prayers. A number of these people were people who, during COVID, they always say, like, you squeeze the sponge and you see what kind of water comes out. And a lot of church sponges were squeezed, and people were kind of like, that's gross. And then they left. And then they found our sermons online, and they started coming to our church. So we're very thankful that the Lord is growing our church. But there are a couple of people, too, who became saved during that time and began coming to our church as a result of that. So there's some sheep stealing maybe, but also like sheep generation as well. So we're very thankful that the Lord has granted us that grace. Here's a quick look at some team members, past and present. First, the Smiths. This is 2003, that photo, when the kids were still little. I didn't have access to pictures from like 1996 when they arrived, but imagine that picture, but with three less children, and Joshua was a baby. The Weihausers went sometime in the early 2000s, I believe, and they stayed there for a year, maybe a year and a half. And sorry about the photo, because I could only find a landscape one and it doesn't fit in a circle. But they're a dear Christian couple. The husband, Brian, passed away, this was probably in like somewhere in the mid-20-teens. And then next were Dale and Joan Shim, who came from Cornerstone, or are now at Kindred, I believe. And they were there for a year, a little over a year, from 2004 to 2005. And they were immediately replaced by the Jungs, Joe and Elaine. And they were there for like 2.5 years, from 2005 to I think around 2008. Makes sense to me, let's just say that. And then Gina and Julia went in 2014. Julia came back in 2016, I'm still there. Except for now, I'm here. And we had the Beverly family. They're from East Tennessee, I believe. And they actually were sent by Send out to Prague. And then I think they got there just before COVID. They had a baby there during COVID. These are brave people. But the church that they were initially serving with, again, you squeeze the sponge, and they were not very happy with what they saw coming out there. And so they started looking for other options. They found us. But ultimately were advised after, like, basically initially were advised when they found us by Marcus that they should probably go back and get more training. And so they're back in Tennessee now. Jake's going to seminary. So, and they have another baby, one that's not in this photo. But that was the first retreat. That's pictures from the first retreat that they ever came to of ours, which is pretty much right after they found us. Josh and Nina Smith, this is the oldest. So remember the baby from this picture, like the oldest kid from that picture of the Smiths, that's him and his wife now. Oh, this was last year, last summer at English camp, and they served for a year. Josh is now in seminary too, looking to kind of hone his skills to be able to come back. And then Matthew and Natasha came maybe like, these, like Joshua and Nina left, I think in September, and then, or maybe October, and then Josh, or Matt and Natasha came in November of last year. They also just had a baby. So this is a picture right after the baby was born. And the baby was born at home. Natasha went to bed around like 10 o'clock, felt some stomach pains. And she's like, man, I probably shouldn't have eaten so much at dinner. Went to bed and then woke up like a few hours later. It's like, oh no, that wasn't what I ate for dinner. And then Matthew called, says like, should we get your go bag? And she's like, I think it's too late for that. So he calls an ambulance. And one thing I didn't know is that like, In the Czech Republic, at least, ambulance drivers are not really trained how to birth children because they're only trained to deal with like emergencies. So Matthew, who'd read up some things like on YouTube while he was waiting for the ambulance to come, was there like, should we? Like the EMTs are just kind of staring at her. They put her in the bathtub to make less of a mess. And he's like, should we like ask her to do this? And they were like, sure, sounds good. And he was like, okay. And then he's like, should I get her to push? And they're like, sure, why not? And so she's like, she's so chill. So she was just like, okay. Like, next thing you know, there's a baby. And he's like, should I cut the cord? They're like, oh, let's see if we have any scissors. So they got him the scissors. He cut the baby's umbilical cord. Everybody was healthy and fine. They went to the hospital in the ambulance. And then like the guy, like the doctors checked her out. And they were like, okay, so we can admit you. And she was like, do you have to admit me? And they were like, I guess there's no medical reason to. So she's like, we're going home. So they were in the hospital for maybe 2-3 hours. And then they went home. That's the Smiths, just in a nutshell. So these are our team members, past and present, and these are our team members' future. If you were at the Roots Retreat, you met Jared and Claire Milliken, and all three of their babies, hopefully. And they are planning to come and serve with us in June or July of next year, and we're very excited about that. Okay, so some questions that I often get: what is it like at BSKK? So I was like trying to think how to describe that. And it's hard, so I had to break it down. So a year in the life of BSKK looks like this. In February, there's this conference that another church puts on. They also have like a magazine called The Battle for the Soul. And they do a one-day conference in Prague, and we usually are at that. Nothing really much until April. Sometime in between like February and March, or February and April, we have spring break. But in the Czech Republic, it works like this, that like they don't want everybody in the Czech Republic descending on like their three ski resorts all at one time. So they have like 6 different weeks. And every like region or every like district is assigned a different week. So you only get like, I don't know, a sixth of the people at all of the resorts. And it rotates every year. So every year, your spring break is a week later than the year before. And once you hit the last week, you go back to the front of the line. But in April, if it's with an even number at the end, we have a shorter church retreat over a weekend. And that's in nearby, it's like forestry school, like 30 minutes away from Klodno. So that's in April. In June, there's usually a church conference in Kroměříž. It's like a Bible conference, they call it. And that is in a city that's about like 3.5 hours away, very beautiful. My dear friend Eva Richertová lives there, if any of you remember her from English Camps Past. And then July is our big month of summer ministry. So on odd-numbered years, we'll have English Camp. Even-numbered years, we'll have, no wait, the other way around. Odd-numbered years, we'll have a church retreat, like a long one, like a week long, from Saturday to Friday. On the even years, we'll have English Camp. That church retreat that we do has been really, we started it during COVID kind of just because we didn't want to lose our slot, because like that hotel that we were with used to reserve that slot for us because they knew we were good for it every year. So we wanted to make sure that they got our business, but we also wanted to make sure that they reserved our spot for us. So we did this long church retreat, and it was a huge unexpected blessing. Some of you may have heard that the Czech people are a little bit more reserved. They don't open up very easily, so it takes a good amount of time to break the ice. And when you only have Sundays, you just break the ice and then everybody goes home like almost immediately, so you don't really get to dig down into the depths. So having this church retreat where the ice is broken in the first 2 days and then the whole rest of the week and you can just keep digging down deeper and deeper is really, really profitable for us. So the elders decided to have that every other year and alternate that with English camp. After that, there's like about a week of a break, and then the dads and kids of the church go on this canoeing trip down the river. It's like 4 days of just like fun in the sun, a lot of crying and puking as well. Anyone who has kids, you get it. It's a profitable time. We had a guy who was like a relative of one of our church members who was invited to this trip. And through that, he was so hostile to the gospel before. His mother would try to share the gospel with him and be like, stop. He'd like yell, like scream, like, stop trying to tell this stuff. Stop trying to like do stuff to my life. And he didn't know, but his wife was like wanting to try out church and wanting to go, but it was so scared to tell him because she saw how he reacted to his mother. He goes on this trip. He sees like all the dads taking care of not only their own children, but other people's children. They're taking care of his kids for him, and he's just kind of relaxing. And he's like, what is this? And so he comes home from the rafting trip, and he tells his wife, well, his partner at the time, and he's like, you know, maybe we should go to church just to show that we're like grateful for like all of, you know, inviting us on the canoe trip. Then after they went to church, like for like probably 3 or 4 weeks, he's calling his mom. The two of them are calling his mom every day, talking for like 3 to 4 hours with questions about the Bible, questions about Christian living, questions about parenting. And his mom is like, oh my gosh, like what's happening? And in that time, they're coming to church like every Sunday, and it's clear like where that's headed. And finally, they profess Christ, they become believers. And at this point, everyone's just so excited that they're believers. No one's addressing like their immoral relationship because they're not married. And on their own, they come to the conclusion, this is wrong that we're like, we have two children together and we're not married. So they got married, or they had one child together at the time. She was pregnant with the second. They got married, and like 2 weeks later, the baby was born. So God is very sovereign, and God is very good to save those people. After the boating trip, there is a biblical counseling conference. It kind of roams around different areas of the Czech Republic. But last year we had Jim and Caroline Neuheiser come and speak, and it was awesome. And I got to hang out with them, and they are a hoot. And if you ever get the chance, go hang out with them. It's so much fun. But so that's July. That's just July. Fortunately, there's not much going on in August, so God is good. In October, though, we have our conference. We put one on in 2019, just before the pandemic, and haven't been able to put another one on since. So this year, we're finally doing it. The theme is, well, I'll talk about that later. So October, conference, and then December, we have a big Christmas outreach concert. And those are our activities for the year. Now, if we want to drill down to like what a month looks like, the first weekend of the month during the school year, we have men's and women's groups, where we get together, we read a book, we have a discussion, we eat a lot. And as I'm sure you all do when you guys have gatherings. And we also, that Sunday, have church pizza day. So for lunch, the church orders pizza. We all hang out. It's a good time. We do church lunch every Sunday because there are families with little kids that live farther away, and if we didn't do that, they wouldn't get to fellowship at all. So we do that. The second weekend is when Yarika and Eva cook for like 70 people. Sometimes, like, most of the time we tend to overcook just in case we have visitors. So they cook for like 40 people each. The third weekend, Amy and I cook for like 40 people each. And then the fourth weekend, we leave it open, and whoever brings food, brings food. But so far, we haven't starved, so we're very excited about that. We are trying to get more people in on the rotation just because cooking for 40 people once a month is hard. It's a lot, and we're generally already busy as it is, so we're trying to expand the staff there. And we also celebrate like our monthly birthday, so whoever had a birthday in the month of whatever we're in, we call them all up to the front, we have a cake, we sing happy birthday, it's a good time. And this is what a week would look like. There are midweek ministries, there's a Zoom Bible study on Wednesdays. We used to have a physical one, but it was not very well attended because people live so far away and it's right in the middle of the week. But during COVID, we started this Zoom one, and it ended up being, again, God really used COVID in our church. People were able to connect from farther away, and because they could, and it wasn't an inconvenience, they did. And now they're used to it, and it's kind of a part of the church culture now, which is good. On Thursdays, we run English camp. I say we, but I mean me, because I do it by myself right now. But we have four students that have been coming like ever since pretty much the very beginning. And then we have two new students who started coming like at the start of the school year last year, so that's like six students in total. On Fridays, every other Friday, we have youth group, because we have enough youth for that now. When we first went to the church, we hardly had any children, much less youth. And so now that we're able to have like a youth group, it's just very exciting to see the church growing. And the vast majority of them are already believers. So at least the Denny kids have been baptized already, Stepan Shepnichka, and the Dragonovi kids, so that's what, six kids at least out of the 10 that are baptized. And a good number of their friends also have been attending, so that's exciting. And then Sunday is church service, obviously. And so that's like a big day of fellowship and ministry, time in the Word. What does Gina do? That's what happens at the church, but what are we paying you for, Gina? Good question. This is a week in my life, what this generally looks like. On Mondays, I teach, but I also do sermon editing, like sermon video editing. When I say sermon editing, sometimes people think like that I edit Marcus's sermons, but no, I just do the videos. On Tuesdays, I have a Czech lesson in the morning, and then I teach like a pretty full day. At least that's what my schedule was last year. Keep in mind that my schedule, like daily schedule, kind of changes year to year because different people are available at different times for their lessons. On Wednesdays, I teach, and then we have a Zoom Bible study in the evening. Thursdays, I have a Czech lesson in the morning. I do some church shopping. So this one's in person. I go to Prague for that one. And so on the way back, I'll stop at Makro, which is like the big box like equivalent, like the Costco equivalent there in the Czech Republic. And I do some church shopping. I buy like whatever snacks we need, utensils, whatever, you name it. And then every other week we have an admin meeting to discuss like upcoming events and stuff at the church, any other stuff that we need to kind of organize. And then in the evening, I have English club. Thursday's a long day. Friday is just kind of a catch-all day to do whatever needs to be done. It really depends on like what's going on in the life of the church. But generally, I'll use it to run errands, to clean if I need to, like do whatever stuff needs to be done like for the weekend. If I'm cooking that weekend, it like is the start of like the cooking. I got to do like mise en place and stuff like that. But yeah, if nothing's going on, then I guess I could theoretically rest. But so far, I think that's happened maybe, I don't know. It happens maybe a couple of times a year. Maybe I'm exaggerating that and it's more, but it's generally busy on Fridays too. Saturday, the first Saturday of the month, we have the men's and women's meetings. And the women meet at my flat. So it's like crammed full of like 15 ladies sitting around. It's a good time. And we also have worship practice, and there's another, I lead one group, and this girl, Bohdanka, leads the other group, so we alternate. And then on Sunday, church again, yay! Pretty, and then as far as, like, people ask me, like, what kind of things are you responsible for? And it's hard to kind of, like, pin it all down, but this is a general overview. I do, like, photo and video editing, web and graphic design, English club, worship, event planning, whatever, like, events we have coming up, and church shopping, and then basically whatever else kind of needs to be picked up. It just depends. So, but those are the ones that have been the most consistent over the last 9 years. And the final probably question for you guys is, how can I help? Cornerstone always is so good at helping. And when our church was smaller, it was harder to find ways to like ask you guys help. But we're bigger now. We need you. So first of all, please pray for BSKK. We've got our conference coming up. It's going to be in October. The theme is devotion, being set apart in a world focused on itself. We've got three speakers, Marcus Denny, Daniel Adamowski, those are our two elders, and a guest speaker from the city of Lovosice named Roman Klusak. He just had a baby like two days ago. There is going to be a special Friday pre-conference for singles. And I don't know that they've ever had an event in the Czech Republic for singles specifically. They have a youth conference, but not singles. And so older singles are hyped for this. They, like, their churches often don't know really how to minister to them if they're older like me and they're not married and they don't have children. So they often feel neglected. They often feel unseen and ignored. So to have a pre-conference just for them is very exciting. So pray for that. We have our Christmas concert, our other big outreach thing of the year. And it's going to be evangelistic in nature. It involves the whole church. Like, kids sing a song. Like, we had a men's choir last time, which was cool. There's, like, lots of snacks that we need to prepare, decorations. Every year, it's a little bit tougher to find songs we haven't done yet. And then Czech Christmas carols are, they're like, I don't know, they're either really weird and they're not about Christ at all, or they're like, we've already done them in the last 2 years. So it'd be nice to try to maybe find some new arrangements and stuff. But that's kind of something that we have to deal with every year with this concert. And so prayers for that would be appreciated. And prayers for our growth. Like, we're so thankful for all that the Lord has already done in growing us. Do I have a picture? No, not yet. Okay. That the Lord has already done in growing us. But as, like, more people, more problems, right? So all of these people that have come, they've not come as these, like, perfect packages of angels, but they have their own issues and they need shepherding, and right now we don't have a lot of people that are equipped to shepherd these, like, very difficult cases. So pray for men especially, but also women, to grow, and for the church in general to grow in our ability to practice the one another's. I think a lot of ministry right now is just being done top down, and it's basically Marcus and Amy are the bottleneck of counseling and ministry there. So if people would talk to one another and build relationships with one another instead of always only going straight to Amy and Marcus, that would be very helpful, I think, for that family in particular. Pray for our elders as they kind of deal with the changing demands of our church and the changing needs. There are right now only two of them. For future elders, that would be another prayer request. And pray for us as a body to grow in unity and maturity. I think when we get to be this kind of big number for us, we face a challenge. We either kind of sink into this church culture and then that church culture becomes our law, or we kind of let everything go and then there's disunity in the body. So just to find that balance between respecting other people's preferences, learning the difference between what's a preference and what's actually, like, mandated by Scripture. Ultimately that, like, the law of love would rule, that we would consider others as more important than ourselves, and that would be evident in our interactions and even in the culture of our church. And then I forgot to put this one on there, but yeah, a church building, we're really looking for a place of our own. The hotel is great, and we're so thankful that the Lord provided it, but there are a couple times a year where we can't have it at their location because they already have, like, a thing that they had annually, and they don't want to break that contract or that relationship with those people. So it would be nice to have a place of our own where we never had to move our stuff because there's an event during the week at the hotel, or even move out completely because there's an event over the weekend at the hotel. So that's something to pray for. And also for unbelievers to come to Christ. There are a number of unbelievers that have been coming pretty regularly lately. And so, they're hearing the gospel. And some of them seem to be very interested, and other people seem to be more interested in just kind of being around people who are nice to them. So just for the Lord to work in the hearts of these unbelievers. Pray for me specifically. Pray for my family. We've just suffered a pretty terrible loss, and we're still grieving and kind of, like, processing. And I know that everybody processes in their own way, and people keep asking me how my parents are, and I'm like, as far as I can tell, they're okay, but who knows what's going on under the surface. They're not very, like, expressive of that. So pray that the Lord would help us to, like, mourn and grieve. Unfortunately, it seems that my dad it's not helped him at all to think about eternity. He's thinking more about, oh, I have very limited time here on this earth, and I want to enjoy it. So Yeah, pray for him. Pray for my brother, who has been dealing with the bulk of, like, the probate stuff. And he's very anxious about everything because it's a big load to kind of have to bear on your shoulders. But I know that if he had, like, hope in a sovereign God, he would be able to rest a lot easier because I sleep like a baby. So pray that he would also, like, submit his life to the Lord. His name's Jiho, by the way. Pray for me for wisdom and for God's guidance as we kind of navigate the probate system and figure that out, and just not wanting to kind of give our lives to that sequence or to that process for just the next year, but also wanting to do our best to make sure that other people who were involved with, like, John and Henny's business dealings get as much as we can get for them. Pray for me. Pray for my visa situation. Every missionary knows, like, this struggle of trying, like, going to a country and trying to stay there. So, like, it's not just about sending them, it's, like, trying to keep them there, too. And the visa process in every country is difficult. And so I have to provide a lot of documentation every other year to keep what I have, which is the long-term visa. I'm trying to get the permanent residence, but because of, like, it's very difficult to get a slot for the language test, and I'm kind of nearing the point in the process of my current, like, residence, that if it's going to expire next July, and the process takes a minimum of, like, 6 months, and so I probably should. I don't know if it's even worth applying for permanent residence at this point. I might need to reapply for long term, and then I'd have 2 more years to apply for permanent. So for wisdom in that process. Just that I would be able to, like, you have to book a language test. It's all packed full because, like, there's so many people that are trying to get permanent residence right now. The Ministry of the Interior is completely packed out because we have this influx of, like, Ukrainian refugees, and they're still dealing with, like, residency for those people. It's going to be a long, slow process. So pray for patience for me, right, that I wouldn't be mad at the people at the ministry because it's not their fault. And just pray that it would be approved eventually, that permanent residence. Permanent residence is good for 10 years, and the renewal process is basically just letting them know you're continuing to stay. So that'd be so much easier than what I have to do now. And in terms of ministry, please pray that I'd be willing to delegate stuff to others. So kind of the timing of what happened in this summer is good because it forced me to kind of shove all of my stuff off onto people that are already, like, still at BSKK. And they've been doing a great job. It's been awesome from what I'm hearing, and they're really stepping up. I don't know how many of them will be able to necessarily keep that going through the school year, but I'm planning to, like, sit and wait until they kind of force me to take it back. So we'll see what happens with that. That would open up a lot of time for me, which I'd be excited to use it for other things. But at the same time, like, I sometimes have I'm a perfectionist in a lot of ways. You wouldn't know that, like, just looking at my desk, but I am. And then, so I tend to kind of hold tightly to things and want them done, like, my way. I gotta let go of that and, like, let somebody else take that over. Nobody cares, like, what kind of napkins we use. So for that, please pray that the Lord would continue to save people at English Club. Do I have that slide? Oh, here. So these are the Panasiuks. This is Nazar and his wife Maria and their baby Luca, who was born, I think, in February, March. They started coming to English Club last year. He emailed me over the summer, and he was like, I'm very interested in your English Club. And I could see he clearly had a Ukrainian last name. And at that time, we were dealing still with, like, a lot of refugees who were basically kind of fishing to get stuff for free. So I was like, English Club is not a ministry it's not a refugee ministry. Like, that's different. So if he wants to come, I'm going to charge him. So he came, he was happy to pay the fee, he was very excited. He came the first 2 times alone. The next time he brought his wife, she's pregnant. And so we're like, they're like very enthusiastic about the club, they're very enthusiastic about being in the Czech Republic. They didn't come as refugees, they came a year before the war. He's an interesting guy because he's got a law degree. His parents were rich, so they put him through a lot of school. They wanted him to do, like, a lot of school stuff. He has a law degree, a business degree, then moves to the Czech Republic, can't get a job with either of those degrees, and becomes a truck driver. And he loves it. He's like, oh, I'm just happy I can make enough to support my family. Like, I can listen to whatever I want when I'm on the roads. Like, so not stressful, except in the winter when there's, like, snow on the roads. So, like, yeah, just a very humble guy. And after we had our Christmas party in December at English Club, he asked, like, hey, you guys are, like, part of a church, right? I was like, yeah. And he's like, can we come? I'm like, sure. They're coming, like, every week. They're tuned in to those services. They're not just coming for the lunch. And they're, like, talking to people, getting to know people, asking questions. I had them over for dinner. We talked for, like, 2 hours about the gospel. And it was so frustrating because I kept saying, like, I told him, like, you know, we are sinners. If even one sin is enough for us to deserve hell, what can we do? He's like, gosh, I guess all we can do is try our best. I was like, our best is not going to be ever good enough. He's like, oh, well, I guess all we can do is try. And I'm like, homie, are you listening to what I'm saying at all? And then I was like, Jesus Christ is a perfect man. He paid for our sins. He's the only one who could do it. We can put our trust in Jesus Christ. He's like, yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And so I was like, okay, I got to go to bed at some point. So, but they kept coming to church, kept listening. When we opened up for membership interviews, they were like one of the first people to sign up for that. And so I gave the elders a heads up, and I was like, last I talked to them, which I think at that point had been like a month, like a week before, I was like, I still don't think that they really understand the gospel. So they said, okay, we'll still have the interview with them. So they had the interview, listened to what they had to say, and basically told them, we don't think you're believers yet, because what you're telling us is that you're just going to try your best, but that's not what the gospel is. Explain the gospel again. That was back in, I think, May. And then the day that I'm supposed to fly back to California from Michigan, I get a text from Marcus that he's just met with the Panasiukovi, and it seems that they are genuine believers now. So praise the Lord for that. And they're probably going to be the 36th and 37th members if they can. I don't know if they'd be willing to let them in before we get them baptized, but I'm pretty sure that's like right down the pike. So praise God for that. Pray for, what other ministry stuff do I have there? For English club. Pray that I would serve humbly. I have a lot of things to do on a Sunday, and it often tends to kind of crowd my vision where the task becomes the point for me and not like service. And so when people kind of come up to me to say hi on a Sunday and I'm doing stuff, I'm like, can't you say I'm doing stuff? Or like, we got like 3 minutes before service starts. I got to do this. And so I tend to be very impatient. But pray that I would serve humbly. Remember that the Lord didn't bring me to the Czech Republic to serve coffee. He sent me to serve people. And so that would be like my vibe. Pray for a new situation with my new roommate. This is Veronica and her little brother, Honza. She has another little brother. Honza's 10, and I think Peppa, the youngest brother, is 8. They have a really like difficult and weird family situation. It's a miracle that she's as normal as she is, although you wouldn't know from this picture. But she's a very sweet girl, was saved probably like in her like early 20s, and she's like closing in on her late 20s now. Was going to a different church. They split. She went to a church that was closer to her home. They're Presbyterians, and she doesn't agree. She couldn't feel like she couldn't, in clear conscience, sign the membership agreement. So then she bit the bullet and started coming to our church. And I've known her for a long time. I've known her since like the first year that I was living in the Czech Republic. But she was living in Prague for the first year that she was at our church, and finally kind of came to the realization she can't serve the way that she wants to if she's living that far away. She can't be involved like she wants to if she's living that far away. So like maybe a few years ago, we were joking around. This after Julia had left, and I was like, hey, if you ever need a place to stay, or you never need like, you know, a new apartment, like I've got an extra room, you're welcome to live here. And so like she approached Amy first and was like, do you think that Gina would be open to having a roommate? And Amy was like, I don't know, why don't you ask her? So then we started talking about it, and then all of this kind of like Henny stuff came down, and so I had to rush it, but we got the paper signed and everything, and she is now living there, I think, as of this weekend. And we have a Ukrainian landlord who's really weird, but I always had problems with the way that they did things, and I was wondering if it's just me, or is this just the way, like, this is the way that things normally go in the Czech Republic, and I'm just too American to understand it. And then she moved in, and she's like, I don't know how you've dealt with this for the last 9 years. And I'm like, thank God, vindication, it wasn't me. So, but we still have to live with them for at least a little while longer. I don't want to move out of that place because it's so close to the church. It's like literally like 3-minute walk to the office and like 5-minute walk to the hotel. So like it wouldn't make sense to leave when we're so close, when we're going to get a new building hopefully soon. So I'd rather find out first where we're going to be and then get a place around there. But we are praying for the day. She's just moved in. She's already praying for the day that we can leave those landlords. So yeah, pray for it's. I haven't lived with anybody for 7 years now, and it's going to be an adjustment for me. I have my stuff like scattered all over the flat. It's basically like my laboratory, my mad scientist laboratory. So I got to clean stuff up and keep it clean. But pray for me that I would be willing to make that sacrifice for Vercha. So her name's Veronica, but her nickname is Vercha. So if you ever hear me refer to someone that doesn't sound like Veronica, it's probably Vercha. Yeah, we've met them. So another way you can serve is English camp. This is what English camp looked like the first time that Cornerstone sent a team. What is that, maybe like 20, 30 people? And this is English camp now. It's like 120 people, including the teams. And you can't, again, can't see faces. And the teams are much bigger now. But we would like it if the team from Cornerstone could be a little bigger than it was last time. We love the Furcos, but we love other people too. So please consider coming. It is a one-week trip. It's a one-week English camp. The trip itself is usually about 2 weeks. I get that that's a lot of vacation for Americans, where you have only two sad little weeks a year to be able to do missions, but it is worth it. We teach English in the mornings, we have lunch, and we like do at every meal we're like trying to interact with Czechs. After lunch, we have workshops where you do crafts or like some sort of activity, a kind of sport maybe sometimes. And we do it in English with a Czech translator. After that, we sometimes have these seminars. We've had like a coffee tasting. We've had like talks about like Christian history. We've had talks about like science and evolution. And that's another time that we get to spend with them. And then we have dinner. And then in the evening, there's the evening program. There's like crazy songs all the time before every session, like main session where we're all together. And then a gospel presentation as well. Often also a life story, where somebody, usually a believer from the team, sometimes a believer from the church, will go up and give their testimony. The exception would be Wednesday night, which is when we have our BSK, or our English Camp Talent Show, and it is very goofy. Last year, Vercha and I, we lip-synced to, or we didn't lip-sync, we just sang Airplanes. You know, like, how's it going? I don't remember it. Pretend that the airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars. Oh, so and then she did the rap part in English. So yeah, it was just to give you that's the level of talent we're expecting. It's like here, so you can participate in the talent show. So we can use all kinds of people. We wouldn't necessarily recommend it. I'd say we wouldn't recommend it for families with really small children that can't be by themselves, just because you'd spend that much money on a plane ticket to go there and then watch your own kids. So children that are a little older, a little more independent, but families with kids would be great. Like it'd be fine, it'd be great. Teenagers are welcome. I don't know how like Cornerstone feels about that, but for us, if somebody's 15 years old, they're allowed to come without to English camp as a student without an adult accompaniment. But yeah, if I don't know, you guys can talk to the elders and stuff about that, and they'll figure it out. But please come to English camp. We want to see you there. And the last kind of thing you can do is stay in the loop. I've got a newsletter on MailChimp. I've got a Facebook group. You have to ask to be added to the group. It's a private group, so if you search it, it won't come up. But if you email me at livians@gmail.com, I will add or email me or message me at Gina Livians Lim. Let me know what your Facebook is, and I will add you to the group. I do a weekly, well, semi-weekly these days, a weekly vlog kind of letting you know. It's called BSKK News, like what's the news at BSKK? It's the way to keep most in the loop with all the current events at BSKK. The newsletter comes out like maybe twice a year if I'm being good. and it kind of gives like a general overview of things and more urgent prayer requests around that time. Because it's usually because something urgent has happened that I actually light the fire to actually write it. And then you can also stay in the loop by donating. There's a Cornerstone Church Center donation page. You can go there if you donate online already. You kind of should know what it looks like and how it works. But from like the drop down, I think it's on the right, you can just pick Czech Missions Gina Lim, I think, and that money will go to me. Because that's why I do this, for the money. They pay me very well. I'm just joking. But like at the same time, like I'm not going to buy a Lamborghini anytime soon. So with that, anybody got any questions? No, I've covered it. Oh, I've got a question here. What do we do at English Club? English Club is basically a conversational club. So I'll usually either find some sort of activity or maybe an article for us to read together and discuss, or just like a topic of conversation. Sometimes if it's like easy like times of year or like holidays, we'll talk about the holidays. On Thanksgiving, because it's on a Thursday and so is Thanksgiving, I'll usually do an American Thanksgiving for everybody and kind of talk about different traditions, like talk about the stories. We'll do the thing where we go around and we say something we're thankful for, and that's usually a really good gospel opportunity as well. And then every once in a while, we'll do like a kind of outing, or this was more for the hangout. We used to do one for teenagers every other Friday when we didn't have youth group. And we would sometimes like go to a movie, or we would go like do a scavenger hunt around Clodno. We had our last meeting just because like half of my students are graduating, the other half will be having to like prepare for various things. So we canceled it until like we have more staff to be able to help with this. But we took a trip to Český Krumlov, which is like 2.5 hours away down in the south. But it's like fairy tale. If you ever get the chance to go to Český Krumlov, like go to English camp, stay a little longer, we'll take you there, and it's beautiful. So yeah, but it's basically conversation, and it runs just through the school year. And we have 4 students that have been coming like since like we started restarted it back in 2014, and then the Panasiukovi, who have also been coming to church. And the only fruit we've seen so far from English Club, but God is good, and there's finally fruit to justify the existence of English Club. But yeah, good question. Other questions? Oh, where?
Yes, I was wondering what you teach. You mentioned that you teach.
Ah, so what do I teach? I teach English as a second language. I don't teach through a company or a school. I teach privately. So most of my students find me by word of mouth, like other connections, like former students or people from the church. Most of the time, if it's for women and children, I teach out of my apartment. For men, I meet them at a cafe someplace public. This was back from when I was like living alone. But yeah, now that I have a roommate, I still wouldn't probably teach a man in our apartment. But now that I'm a roommate, I have a neighbor who lives like on the 5th floor, I think. And he, like during COVID, I made care packages and would leave them on the doorsteps of all of the people in the apartment building. There are only like 24 apartments, so it's like 23 care packages. And then I kind of made it a thing where I do it every Easter and every Christmas and invite people to our like whatever activities we have going on. But one day I came home and there was a note on my doormat, and it was from my neighbor Martin, and he was like, you seem like a lot of my friends like don't live in the area anymore, so I don't have anybody to hang out with, but you seem cool, so could we become friends? So I was like, okay. And he was like, you can come over to my apartment for dinner. And I was like, I don't do that. And he was like, I can go to your apartment for dinner. I was like, I don't do that either. I was like, we can go out. We can go to a cafe. He's like, maybe we can like walk my dog together. I'm like, I'm so down for that. I love dogs, for those of you who don't know. But yeah, so but now that Veronica lives with me, we can invite him over for dinner, like the two of us, so that he doesn't feel like I think he's a leper. But I think that even that is like he probably thinks it's really weird, but it's a way to keep it above board and keep it above reproach. And hopefully someday he'll understand why I was so strict about that in the beginning. So, but yeah, and I teach English. Every once in a while, if I'm asked to do something at a public school, like a demo lesson or something, or like some sort of activity, if they're having like an international day, I'm like Korean and American, 2-for-1. So I'll go and do those. But yeah, mostly just I teach Monday through Wednesday, and that's more than enough for me. I don't do that for the money either. The money's even worse in teaching. So yeah, very good question. And it's also a very good opportunity to like build connections in the community. They have to, and they have to talk to you. They're paying you money so that they can talk to you. But that means they also have to listen. So lots of opportunities to talk about church, to talk about the gospel. So it's been very, very useful in that way. No converts yet, but it took like 9 years with English Club, so we'll see what happens. Another question I thought I saw here. The week in July for English Camp, it's the first week. There's a state holiday, like a national holiday, July 4th and 5th, and every Czech gets that off. And so usually we'll take the week of wherever that holiday falls to have our camp. The problem is that sometimes it falls on a weekend, and so if it's a year like that, which I don't think next year should be fine. The first full week in July is usually when it is. Great question. Any more great questions? We got one here.
With the English camp, apart from the opportunities to share about your life experience as an English speaker, are there other opportunities for the gospel?
A very good question. At English camp, if there are, aside from being able to share your life story, are there other opportunities to share the gospel? All the time, because we're always in conversation with people. After a prime time would be after the evening service or like the evening program, They've just heard a gospel presentation. If you strategically seat yourself next to a non-believer, you turn to them immediately, if their English is good enough, and ask, what did you think about what we just heard? What do you believe about, you know, whatever this was about? So we have a different theme every year. We usually don't find out until, like, I don't know, January or February. It's hard to think of a theme, and that's all on Marcus. But it'll be something about the gospel, and so you can ask them what they think about that. We take hikes. That's often like an afternoon activity after the workshops. Is they'll like everybody will go on this big group hike, and you can walk with a non-believer, and like talk to them, ask them their story, and then tell your story. You it's possible at this location not so much. It used to be that people would room. So if you're like not married, which you are, so too bad for you. But if you're single, you could room with a non-believer and have the opportunity to share with them. There was one year I did room with a non-believer and I was able to share my testimony, and she was like so like moved by it. She went back to our room and she cried. But then I went back to our room and saw her crying. But we got to have like a good 2-hour long conversation about that. She never came back, but but she knows at least she knows the gospel now. But yeah, lots of opportunities sprinkled throughout. If like you're, because you'll be in a class, you'll be teaching, you'll be building relationships with these people. And then also like people are like, but I don't know, like I don't speak Czech, so how am I gonna communicate with them? It's like, we speak Czech, we'll translate for you. And there are also even other students. So this is a funny thing, is that they're so eager for opportunities to use the English that you can ask a non-believer to translate for you. And they'll be translating your gospel presentation into Czech because they want to practice. So they're getting like double whammied with that because they have to like process it as you're telling them, and then they have to process it in their own mind. How do I explain this to this other person that doesn't speak Czech or English? So lots and lots of opportunities. Yeah, drag in a non-believer into that conversation. It's a very strategic way to go. Yeah, other questions? Ooh, we got one here. I do many things. What's my favorite aspect of the ministry or what brings me the most joy? I would say it's that I'm never bored. There's always something new to learn and something new to do. Basically, what happens is that anytime like our church grows a little bit and Marcus decides that we need some other kind of new ministry, I do a lot of legwork for like researching that, seeing how it would go, coming up with like ideas for it. And then, like, I've learned so many, like, random new skills. Like, I had to learn, like, Photoshop. I had to learn Lightroom. I had to learn, like, Scribus, which is, like, a free version of Illustrator. So, like, I've had to learn how to use all these weird programs and stuff. I had to learn about, like, graphic design and stuff, which has been super fun. Like, making T-shirts and flyers and, like, tracks and stuff. It's super fun. I enjoy that kind of thing. Like buying napkins and stuff, I guess that's also kind of fun. I like going to Costco. I like roaming the aisles and like seeing like what's the best deal on forks and stuff. Like it sounds so like mundane, but I really enjoy that. No, I generally really enjoy whatever it is that I do for the church. It's like there's nothing that they've asked me to do where I'm like, ugh, that again. So like, yeah, I think if those like kind of more like, I don't know, task, like low-skill tasks are taken away from me, I think I'd like to invest more in like maybe getting an ACBC certification. There's a huge need for counselors in the Czech Republic. And then like, it's the kind of situation where I'm an older single lady, nobody's gonna come to me for parenting advice or like marriage advice unless I have some kind of a degree or certification. But somebody, they need desperately for other people to help bear that load. So getting certified would probably be a good step for me if I want to help with that at all. But yeah, there are, like the world is our oyster. Could be all kinds of other things. I think we're out of time.
Yeah. No, just keep here. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
Can we pray for her? Let's all pray for her. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your grace, your goodness, what you are doing in Czech Republic and through Kladno Bible Church, and also Gina, Lord, so amazing to hear her stories, and even just thinking back from when we first sent her out and to now, how you have grown her and how you are using her and you have used her, Lord. It's so encouraging to hear your work. Lord, help us to continue to bear burdens together with Marcus and Gina and Cloud Knoll Bible Church, Lord, that we can continue to pray. Lord, we know that it is you who is doing the work, bringing people to yourself, for your gospel to go forth. Lord, we pray that the gospel will continue. Lord, the work that you are doing in Czech Republic through Cloud Knoll Bible Church, Lord, will go forth. We know that you will call those whom you've already saved and chosen. And so we pray for a revival in Czech Republic, in Kladno, in Prague. Lord, that more church will be planted. We know that you are calling more workers to Czech Republic. And so we pray for more church plants. We pray for maturity of the church. We pray for more believers. And Lord, that the gospel will be known everywhere, Lord, where there was none before. So we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I think one last point I wanted to make is that you know, typically the missionaries we've sent out, missionaries that we typically think about are church planters, right? Our pastors, church planters. But anybody can be a missionary. So Gina is a supporter. I don't know the term diaconate support missionary. And so really, anybody can be a missionary if partnered with a church planner. So just want to encourage people that to think of missions as well in that role. All right. Thank you.